What is that? Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! My eyes! Ah! Ah!
Excuse me, could you tell me how much longer that's going to be? Hello, miss! I'm a lieutenant in the police department. I'm in the middle of a homicide investigation. Can I get my prescription, please?
Do you see I'm on the phone? Hey, you can't come back here.
You got me waiting 30 minutes so you can make a fuck personal phone call.
Can't be back.
Security,
security
pharmacy, please.
This is it.
Come on, guy.
Police
on,
emergency.
Guy.
This is it.
You know a cop.
What's that look like?
Then why are you acting all crazy for?
This is $23 with my copay, right? Here's 40. Get everybody a drink. Get the fuck out of my way.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of the Super Podcast here at the Super Network at supermarcy.com. I'm your host, Super Marcy. There was a lot of supers in that sentence. All right. We are back after a short hiatus of the main show, so I could focus on doing other shows because that's how I roll. But anyway, we're back. And with me, as always, is the one who is terrible. That is Mr. Bede Jermaine. Hello, Bede.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. How are you, buddy?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. Been pretty busy as of late, Marcy. It actually has been a while since I've last been on the show, but there has been a lot been going on over the past few months since I was last on. Had the Melbourne International Film Festival, and then I went away for a while on a work and a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm really happy to be back on the show, Marcy.
Yeah, you're on a small ban for a while. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, because you just didn't like me anymore.
No, I'm just like, fuck that guy, he's terrible. Fuck that loser.
Yep, this is us on a daily basis.
Yep. But we have a very cool show indeed, because we actually have it's a first time guest, and I can't believe I'm saying he's a first time guest on this podcast, because I think we've been trying to get him on this podcast for years, but, you know, we're just losers and never organize anything. So, it is with great pleasure that we both welcome the one and only Jimmy O to the Super Podcast.
I'm so excited.
And
very, 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 very excited to be here.
And with that...
Very, 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 very...
Yep, no, with that, your Super Podcast cherry has officially been popped.
I know, I'm excited. I can do, like, we popping cherries everywhere we go.
Yep. Absolutely.
You're not a first time guest on the show unless your cherry has been popped by Marcy.
Yeah.
Oh well, I'm so glad that I'll be popped by both of you. I feel like a lot of popping going on right now.
Bede, you so better pop in one.
It's just popping all over. Oh geez, they're popping. That's gross. I gotta clean that up. That's disgusting.
So much popping.
So much popping. There will be popping.
Oh my god.
Indeed.
Anyway.
Oh yeah. We're in serious mode. I'm very happy to be here. I'm very excited, and I'm finally about time you guys asked me.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it forever, but then we just got sidetracked and never did.
Yeah, it's true. We always plan it, and then we're always like, okay, then we'll figure out time, and then we never do. So
yeah,
now it is happening.
I can't
it's real.
Believe it.
Right.
We are talking
I just pinched
to Jimmy
myself.
O. We are talking to Jimmy O. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my
Even
God.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited for anything.
That's true. That's good. I'm glad you're excited.
I'm so excited. I took off my pants.
I wasn't wearing any in the first place.
I'm sitting on a bucket.
Oh, See, is this like the least amount of time our show has become a complete train wreck?
I don't know. It didn't take long, but you know, that's how
well,
we.
I gotta take some credit for that because we were kind of before we started. We were goofing a little bit, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Not too much.
Not too much. Not too much. And it's I think what really, really was exciting for me is with Bama to do my Sam Riley impression. I'm Sam Riley.
Oh my god. I can't even remember the last movie I saw him in. What was the last thing he's been in? I can't even remember.
Pride, Prejudice and Zombies, man.
I didn't even see that movie.
Yeah, he was awesome in that movie. I did too. Thank you. It was fun.
Wasn't he? Was he the thing in Maleficent?
Yes, he was. He was the birdie guy.
Yeah, right.
That's his official character's name, the birdie guy.
The birdie guy.
the birdie guy. Bird.
My hair.
Have you heard?
Bird.
Have you heard
about that?
The bird is.
Thank God you said that because I would have started singing. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Dear Lord.
It may happen. I don't know. Yep. I don't know. So, how you guys doing?
Oh, man. Do you know what? Like, let me tell this story right now. All right. So,
please do. All
right. So, we're in September. September is meant to be spring. Yet, we had this amazing, beautiful, warm day full of sun. Bead was over. I was rolling around in the grass with the new puppy that my sister has. And then the next day, it went cold and raining and it was disgusting. And I fucking hate Melbourne weather. I just had to get that out of my system. Fuck you, weather.
Yeah.
That is, it seems like we're having some weird weather too. LA will be like, last year was hot for so long. Now it's still kind of hot, but not hot enough for the pool. Because we have a pool in our complex, but it's, you know that scene in Titanic near the end when Jack is in the water?
Yep.
That's what our pool feels like all the time. So if, you know, it's the middle of summer, you're like, well, that's fine because it's like 105 degrees. I'll get in the pool and I'll freeze a little bit, but at least it's hot. But like right now it's like 80. So if you get in the pool, it's like, yeah, so you do actually, you could reenact that scene, but it would, you know, deadly consequences.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. you'd be like fucking, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this sentence right now.
I don't know. I'm glad that you have said fuck because I didn't know if I was going to ask if I can say fuck, and I'm glad to know now.
You can say whatever you want because like my favorite word is saying cunt, and I say cunt all the time, and people are kind of shocked by that because cunt is such a bad word. But in Australia, you can call someone a cunt, and it means you're my best friend, or you can say you're a fucking cunt stain. I hate your guts.
Well, is it really just Americans that are offended by that word?
I think so.
Like, really?
Yeah. Everywhere in the world says it. Like, it's like probably the most common word used in all of Britain.
Yeah, Ireland. I mean, they always use that. You know, anytime you see one of those movies, you hear that word constantly. And you say it in America, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I've been hearing that a lot lately. And I'm like, but I say cunt all the time. It was like, On the In Conversation podcast with, I'm going to say his name correctly because I know how to say it now, Paul Shirey, said it perfectly.
Oh.
He was very surprised by the cunt usage. And then I said, well, I call people a cunt stain. And he was so impressed by that word. He's like, I'm going to call my son a cunt stain from now on. I'm like, you should, man. You should.
I think that may be his, you know, that, yeah, that's, I don't know if I'm going to call my son that word, but I like the word. It's a cunt stain. I like it. I'm good with that.
It's a stain of the cunt.
I kind of assumed that.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear by the word. Obviously,
yeah, no, obviously it needed explaining and everything.
Yeah, now you have to, when you think about it, you're like, okay, I know what that means.
Yeah, so cunt stain. Yeah, when you see
a
girl's dirty knickers, you'll be like, oh, she's fucking cunt staining everywhere.
Oh. messy.
Anyway.
Once again, another cherry has been popped.
Anyway, enough about cunts.
Welcome to Filthy Talk with Bean and Marcy and Jimmy.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk dirty words.
This should be a new podcast where we just talk dirty for like an hour. With no actual conversation or anything. That's it.
Yeah, and now just go, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, just fuck this. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I really don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know. Let's move right along. Before we actually get into things, let's do our favorite segment on the podcast, which is Feed. Why are you a terrible Australian for this podcast episode?
Let's see, Marcy. I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen, and in theme with the topic tonight, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen. Hold on 1 minute.
Doesn't even remember.
I was going to find a perfect one from the list.
oh, God.
Okay. I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen the Nicolas Cage masterpiece that is Left Behind.
Not Jesus Christ.
Wow, you really watched that?
I actually watched it.
Wow.
Was that
I'm so sorry.
Was that a bad tweet-a-thon one, or...?
Yeah, it was one of my bad tweet-a-thon ones, yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. That's a lot to put yourself through.
Yeah, and it was like a landslide victory for that when I asked people, which out of these movies you want to vote for, and everyone just voted for Left Behind.
Wow. Well, it's really not the same without Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, exactly. Although you have Chad Michael Murray in the Kirk Cameron role. Although, I think it would have been more amazing if it was Nicolas Cage in the Kirk Cameron role, but yeah, that's just me.
Nicolas Cage should be in every role. Yeah, that's it. We're on the same wavelength. He should be in every role.
Yeah, he really should. Every movie. I need to see, Anomalisa should have had Nicolas Cage.
Exactly.
That would have been amazing.
Why don't they make, remember that fake movie poster of Cage-Nado? Why don't they actually make that movie where he's, the sharks in the tornado? So it's Cage-Nado.
Well, if they don't make that movie, I will give my services to write the script to Cage-Nado and play Nicolas Cage in that movie. even if it has a radio play, I will do it.
It's a radio play. Coming soon to Super Podcast.
I think that's what we should do. We should just write a radio podcast play called Cage Nado, and we should just star in it. And
yep, done. The three of us can do that.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Can I play Tara Reid?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm in. I'm totally in. I think the Sharknado films really is Matt Lauer's most impressive moment on screen. This year, yeah. Certainly not his recent performance, but Sharknado, that's his level of talent. The Sharknado movies, really. Yep. It's really good. He's great.
We should leave it to our listeners, Marcy. If people want to hear a podcast play, I should say, of Cage Nado, let us know. And if there's a lot of feedback, we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll post up or something about it and see the feedback.
Feedback!
Woo! But anyway, before we get fully on the cage rage... Jimmy-O, you are doing some cool things right now. You're working on projects and whatnot, so why don't you advertise yourself a bit? Because I want to know about it.
I will, and it's really exciting. Right now I'm petting my cat. And I'm petting my cat too.
She's purring. Shut up, Marcy! Stop!
No, there's something I'm really excited about. We had the Kickstarter, I think, back in January for a little movie called The Harvesters, which I'm producing. I'm one of the producers on. I met the filmmaker, Nick Sanford, and we ironically have never met in person. We've only FaceTimed, Skyped, talked on the phone, tweeted, everything else, emailed. We have never met face-to-face. But for some reason, we started talking. He sent me a script he wanted to make. I was so excited by it because it didn't feel like anything I'd ever seen before. I would call it, I guess, a mystery horror film. And next thing you know, I'm involved producing this film. We had one of the scariest Kickstarters that I could imagine because we came up very short until the very last day when suddenly we got more than we needed. So come April, we are making the movie. We shot it in Oklahoma. It has a great cast. And I'm happy to say I've seen the film. I've seen it twice. I haven't seen the whole thing because there's it's missing some of the score, but I've seen a work print, and I feel so relieved, so excited. It's such a good film. Let's just say I think we will. Some people will hopefully get a chance to see it fairly soon. So there you go. It's one of those things. Doing a small independent film is an interesting experience, but I really enjoyed the process. And I don't know, it just feels like everything that shouldn't have worked somehow worked, strangely enough. But, the Kickstarter was a major success. Shouldn't have been. It didn't feel like it was going to be. I mean, we were literally the last day. We're like, well, how the fuck are we going to come up with this money? Because this isn't going to happen.
I think that seems to be a thing on some Kickstarters that I've seen. It's like the very last day is that last stretch, and then somehow the goal gets met. It's crazy.
Yeah, it could simply be that people wait, and they're like, well, let's see, I don't want to donate, but yeah, I guess I'll help my friend out if it's the last day. I was very thankful because I had a lot of people that really helped out. A lot of the guys from Joe Blow were really instrumental in making it happen. Arrow in the Head did a lot of publicity for it. I had a couple of my famous friends lend a hand to get a few people interested. It's been an amazing experience, and I've got to tell this story. And I've again never met any of the cast and crew in person ever until Comic-Con. We had one of the actresses from the film, actually the actress, our lead actress, was at Comic-Con, so we got to hang out, and it was pretty rad. It's a strange feeling knowing that I haven't met anybody. But I'll give her a shout out. I met Alyssa Ford, and she's really phenomenal. I mean, I really love her performance in the movie. It's a really good flick, guys. We spent very little on it, but it looks great. I mean, it looks like a $1 or $2 million movie. I mean, I'm really shocked and really just kind of blessed.
Sounds awesome. Then when you're at the stage and you need, like, reviews, you know two really good reviewers that will be more than happy to watch it and,
I do?
Yeah.
Of course I do. And yet, once I have a finished copy that I can send you guys, I absolutely will.
Yeah. Awesome. We would love to watch it.
It's a weird thing because you make something and you know what you have, and in this case, we're happy with what we have. I'm happy with what my director did, and he wrote the script, he directed it. But now that I've seen it, now that I know what it is, it's a lot easier to talk about because I've seen the finished project and I'm happy with it. It's not something, or not completely obvious, like I said, but I'm happy and I feel like I can't wait. I'm freaking excited for people to watch it, and it's a really unusual horror mystery because it's not gory, it's not torture, but it has a very simplistic kind of old-fashioned element, which I really love. And I don't know, I'm really, it's, you definitely are gonna see little hints of Nick's, you know, some of the inspirations that Nick had. And I think it's really cool to see a little bit of Halloween, a little bit of Jaws, a little bit of Signs. It's really cool. And it's, I'm beyond proud to be a part of it. And, you know, and now it's exciting. It's really exciting. The film's almost finished and it just, it's not supposed to be this easy to make a film. It's just not.
Well, apparently when you're involved, it's brilliantly easy.
Apparently, I you know, the next project I do will probably be nightmarish, and I'll be like, oh my god, why am I producing? But I like it. I like it a lot. And I like, look, I came out when I was 18, I came out to L.A. to be an actor. That's what I wanted to do. I'd worked, you know, back when I was living in Utah for a few years, I did acting, and I came here to want to do that. And, you know, your life changes around, and I got this amazing opportunity to write for Joe Blow, and I'm still there. It's been 10 years, and I still couldn't be happier. I love the site, and I love the opportunities it's brought me, and I love the people I've met through it, you guys including. It's a really amazing thing, and I love the fact that people reach out to me and talk movies or I don't know, I think it's nice, and it also has given me a little more, obviously, given me a few connections. A lot of what we've been doing, and we have some really exciting announcements, I wish I could tell you right now, but I can't. But, you know, just a lot of cool things coming out of the woodwork right now, and it's really exciting, really exciting.
Well, you can tell us when you can, because we'd be more than happy to have you jump back on and talk about it.
Sure.
But we
will.
But I do want to, like, say that, yeah, I mean, how long has Joe Blow been around? Like, forever, basically.
Since 98, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think I've been visiting, since 2000 or something like that. I can't even remember how far back, like, but I just feel like I owe so much to that and Arrow in the Head and just, like, you know, just going on the site, like, every day and like meeting so many amazing people and then actually having the chance to do a bit of work on the site, which was always fun for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, if it wasn't for like the Joe Blow movie forums back in the day, Bede and I would never have even have met.
Is that how you met?
That is how we met.
That, see, Joe Blow bringing people together, man.
Yeah, we first started doing this podcast because it was my baby. And then you were visiting your brother here in Melbourne, and that's when we first actually met in person. And then you moved here, and we get to hang out all the time.
Yep, exactly.
I want to hang out with you guys.
Come to Melbourne.
I'm coming right now.
Yep. All right.
Wait, that sounded
really good. Hello. Well, hopefully I can actually visit you, Jimmy O. Like, I want to go back to L.A.
You should. You should. Very much so. You guys should come, like, right now.
I wish I could. I have actually said to my friend, he's your friend, he's that very handsome Justin fella.
Oh, yeah.
I'd spoken to him, like, I said, I'll come and hang out with you and whatever. When I actually get there, because I've known him for as long as anyone, like 7 or 8 years now, so.
Yeah.
And,
he's also a writing partner of mine, too, which is exciting.
Which is great, which he, the podcast with me, he talked about it, so it was really cool to hear about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I'm working on the Harvesters is almost done. Sick for Toys, we're actually kind of getting it out there, trying to find the right place to shoot it, the right cast, so we're still in pre-production, but I'm actually kind of glad because we're taking a little time to get it out there, and I really love that script, and it's really dark and really messed up on a lot of levels, and I'm really excited to move into that production soon, so it's... Whoa.
You know,
yeah, it's really exciting right now.
You know, if you need really good female Australian exotic type, you could just ask me to be in it.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Or,
Or if you need somebody terrible, you can just put me in it too.
Oh, well, yeah. That, I mean, that's a no-brainer, guys. Come on.
Like, if somebody, if you have, like, a character who just needs to punch somebody, you could just have... I could be that person.
You can be the punching
bag.
So, wait,
are you really strong? Can you, like, punch people out? Can you knock them out, like, really quickly?
Well, I can.
I can punch people out, but I mean, people can punch me out if they want.
Okay, so you want to be punched out. Well, I am working on it's a movie called 50 Shades of Grey. And, you know, I know we'll be... Ah! I don't have any impressions to do of that one. So, no impressions of that. Wait, I guess I could go... Ah! There we go. That's my impression.
Actually, can we write a movie where it's just me, basically, like, I've got a proper, like, torture dungeon, and I don't mean a sexual one, I mean a proper, I'm gonna, like, you know, cut your arm off and make you bleed to death sort of torture dungeon. And I just basically spent 90 minutes torturing Bede and, like, cutting off bits of his skin and feeding it to him and all sorts of stuff. That'd be awesome.
I think that might be interesting.
Mm. It would have a lot to say about, like, society and... be so
that's
metaphorical.
Deep. That's
and,
really deep.
Yeah. That should happen. I might write that now. Yeah.
I think you should, like, write it.
Except,
well, if you're cutting off skin, you could use a razor and you could call it 50 Shaves of Marcus.
Oh.
See? See what I did there? A little wordplay?
Oh, yeah. I'm terrible at it.
I'm
so,
in.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
Let's do it. Done.
Oh.
All right.
while we're discussing that, I was actually looking over I have this, you know, this massive collection of just odds and ends that I get from, you know, whether junkets or just random stuff that I get in the mail. I was looking at my Shaun the Sheep little doll, and I was thinking, well, you could block him. Block the sheep.
Just shear it.
Shear the sheep.
Shear it? Is it block or... Block the
sheep?
Share the sheep? Shearing. Shear the sheep.
Yeah,
shear the sheep. What's a flock? Well, a flock is a flock of sheep. Flock of seagulls. Flock of seagulls.
I'm confused. I'm so confused. Anyway. should we send this podcast even more off the rails with our cage rage topic?
Yes.
Cage rage, yes, we should.
Nicolas Cage, now I'm in the rage. I can't do it. It's so bad.
There's rage within Nicolas Cage. Yes. For our listeners, we're doing an entire podcast on Nicolas Cage, because we've been talking about this one, doing this one for a while, haven't we, Marcy?
Yes. Actually, as a matter of fact, when you were...
What?
Sorry. Go.
Well, why Nicolas Cage and why, I really don't know what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
lost my train of thought, I guess.
Yeah, so when Bede was, came to visit, to hang out, we're at my sister's house looking after the puppy, and just by chance, Drive Angry was on.
Oh, I love that movie. Come on, that movie's rocking.
And just our ongoing commentary for that was hilarious. So we're just like, you know what, we keep talking about Nicolas Cage. I don't know, like, why Nicolas Cage is such, like, a thing in our lives, but he is.
Because he's awesome.
But we always talk about Nicolas Cage.
Well, because, you know, I've interviewed him a few times. I really like the guy a lot. He's a cool dude. He's kind of wacky, but I'm like, he's always been really nice.
He's no more wacky than you or I. You or
yeah,
I.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, especially Bede. He's really wacky.
I mean, if I had millions of dollars, I'd be buying weird shit like Nicolas Cage, too.
I think so, too. I would be... Who would, if you had $1 million, what weird celebrity would you want to be?
I'd totally be Nicolas Cage.
If you could...
So mainly just so I could have, like, a T-Rex skull in my house. So, well, what he did have a T-Rex skull in his house, but he had to sell that back. So I'd definitely be here with all these outrageous purchases if I was,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Fair enough.
I'd sink so far down that you'd see me on like every episode of like Beverly Hills. I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking dirty, but I mean like porn,
yes, you
as
are.
In PAWN, Beverly Hills Porn, where you go sell your beloved possessions. Porn.
You want Nicolas Cage porn?
I do want Nicolas
Cage
porn.
We all want Nicolas Cage.
I want a star in it with him. No. But, like, I need money, so I have to go pawn off all my crazy purchases at Beverly Hills Porn. That would be me as Nicolas Cage. Anyway.
That would be amazing. That would be so
Here's
good.
My T-Rex skull. Give me $1 million. Can't do it.
I have a T-Rex skull. Take my T-Rex skull. I need money.
Need money.
Oh, wait. I just looked up random Nicolas Cage quotes, like real quotes that he said, including this one. Sometimes people think I'm wearing a wig when I'm not wearing a wig, and then sometimes they think I'm not wearing a wig when I am wearing a wig. That's a Nicolas Cage moment.
That sounds so much like Nicolas Cage.
That's too bad. I'm sorry, but, you know, I try.
Let's get down to it. What is... Alright, so personally, my favorite movie starring Nicolas Cage is Wild at Heart.
Man.
So, no. Wild at Heart, I think, is amazing because, A, I think David Lynch is amazing, but that movie is amazing, and Nicolas Cage is amazing in that movie.
Everything is amazing in that movie. That is one of my favorite films. That's definitely my favorite Nicolas Cage movie.
I love
you know
so
why? Because this whole world is wild at heart and weird on top. Freaking Laura Dern was so sexy in that flick. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Nicolas Cage.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh
Nicolas
my god.
Cage. Diane Lane. Or not Diane Ladd, sorry.
Diane
Ladd with the makeup and the lipstick. Oh my god.
And like, Dovetoya Hill's jacket represents a symbol of my individuality and my belief in personal freedom. I can't do a Nicolas Cage impression, I'm sorry.
That was pretty good, though. I liked it. That movie has the greatest, some of the coolest quotes. I mean, ridiculously good quotes.
But everything about it is so amazing. It's one of my favorite movies ever. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh, mine too. Mine too. And Yeah, I remember seeing that the first time. I was just like, I was so entranced, and it's just such a bizarro film. And you had like the little cameos from like the Twin Peaks people and these weird little Isabella Rossellini shows up. Obviously she's one of Lynch's regulars, but man, oh man, was that movie awesome!
That's so cool.
That is just yeah. We could seriously just talk about Wild at Heart. I love the kind of Elvis fetish it had. That was I love Nicolas Cage's character. I love Sailor and Lula.
I like that it's kind of like a Wizard of Oz type, you know, as a fucked up kind of story.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's so cool.
It goes to such dark and bloody places, but it's actually kind of has this weird kind of fairy tale, like you said, Wizard of Oz type feel.
Mm.
I mean, and they're not subtle about the Wizard of Oz
reference at all. It's so, I've seen this so many times. I love that movie so much. It's like, I think it's one of the really just brilliant and pure Nicolas Cage performances. Like, there's no... I mean, yeah, the character's kind of like that crazy, unhinged type of thing, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like he's doing it on purpose in a way. It's just, it's natural.
No,
it's what works.
It's just a really wild romance, and they those two were really good together.
Mm.
They just kind of, they had this chemistry that just was incredibly intense and really just fun to watch. I need to watch this again now.
Yeah, I want to watch it right now.
We could do the radio version of Wild at Heart.
Oh, could we? I think we need to do commentary
and
our own radio show. Yeah, all of that. What about you,
so
Bede?
Good.
What's your
so
favorite?
Good.
What's your favorite Bede? Beetleberg.
let's see. One of my favorite Nicolas Cage performances, or films in particular. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, this is... I absolutely love this movie, but the thing is that he's only in it for, like, 5 seconds.
That doesn't count.
But it's probably... And it's one of the most brilliant cameos of all time, and of course is his 5 second role as Fu Manchu in Grindhouse.
I didn't know you were going to say that.
Wow! I forgot about that. Oh my god!
He is
amazing.
He, like, he's only in it for 5 seconds, like literally 5 seconds, and but he. Like, even in a five-second cameo, he, like, chews the scenery in absolute awesomeness. He basically, like, just screams and just laughs maniacally for, like, for his cameo. It's awesome.
Well, you know what's interesting about him, though, is that he gets such a bad rap, but the dude can act. I mean, he's done some really awesome performances. I mean, even back to, I love Valley Girl. That's one of my favorite, like, 80s, or, yeah, 80s, like, teen comedies. Deborah Foreman looking so cute and awesome, and I love that movie, man. I think that was the first time I ever saw him, and I'm like, oh, this guy's rad, dude. He's, like, all punk rock and shit. Fuck yeah. It's like that guy.
Awesome. Mm. And, you know, I've actually, one movie of his I've always wanted to see, and I never have seen it, is Birdie.
Wicker Man.
No.
Birdie. Oh, that's really good.
I've always really wanted to see
bees!
It.
The bees!
But not the Wicker Man Birdie.
Yeah.
Because that kind of looks good. But no, the Wicker Man is
Birdie is actually
amazing.
Really good. It was him and Matthew Modine, and it was one of those surprisingly sweet, sweet little movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
But really good. Kind of a downer, though.
The Wicker Man is pretty amazing.
it's a spectacle that is. How do you have Neil LaBute do that film and do what? What were they thinking when they made that film? I mean, in a weird sort of way, it really works as a great, like, if you want to play a drunken game, that's like drink and every time he makes a weird face, you can do that with that film and you'd be wasted within like 10 minutes.
Absolutely. All right, Jimmy O, what about your, like, one of your favorites for Nick Cage?
Kind of, it's really hard because Wild at Heart would definitely be one. Valley Girl would be one. I think probably my favorite besides those two, because I have a few, I would probably say Raising Arizona. God, I just watched that again and. He's really good in that one. This guy has talent, man. I feel bad for all, because people tend to just remember him for the ridiculous stuff, but, you know, he's been really on. I mean, he is an Academy Award winning actor, so.
I was going to say he did win the Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, which, again, a really good performance, a great movie, too. So, but yeah, I would probably, it's hard. I don't know if I could narrow down just one or two of my favorites. For all the bad movies he's made, he's also made a lot of really good ones. So, you know, and I'm going to do three. I'm going to do Wild at Heart, Raising Arizona, and Valley Girl. Those are my favorites. Did you guys see Valley Girl? Am I the only one?
I think you're the only one who's seen it, because I can't remember having seen it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have seen it or not. I'm going to have to watch it now.
I need a Nicolas Cage-a-thon.
It's really fun, and it's really cute, and it's got great punk rock music and great 80s music. And, you know, it was like, and again, it's Deborah Foreman as the lead, who I had the biggest crush on when I discovered her as a kid. And ironically enough, I wrote an article about her. I wrote a Where in the Horror Are They Now? And it was pretty funny because she actually responded and she said, you know, my mom really loved that article, so she's making me post it everywhere. Because I was I'm a huge fan. I still am. And she's lovely. And it's worth it for her. It's worth it for Nicolas Cage. E.G. Daly is in there. It's pretty awesome. Valley Girl.
One I actually really like, I haven't seen it in forever, was Peggy Sue Got Married, which was where he worked with family.
Well, that was, I mean, who?
I said he worked with his family, because Francis Ford Coppola directed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of like an underrated
His career didn't do the... It seemed like it was late, much later in his career when it became the, you know, after all the money issues and all that. You know, for a while there, he was pretty much in a string of really good movies. Moonstruck was pretty good, too. I mean, he did some good stuff.
I think Vampire's Kiss really showed him as that unhinged guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, like, you know, the early 90s were really good for him because he did, like... some pretty decent things, and then, like, once he got to The Rock, Face Off, Con Air, I mean, that was, like, the height of just amazingness
action. That's, like, three, like, Con Air, The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off. He, like, did three action movie classics, like, in a row. That's amazing. Like.
And The Rock is, like, it's with Sean Connery, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, amazing. Did we lose Jimmy? He's there. I can hear you. Hello.
Yes. Yeah. People keep calling me. This is the second time someone has called me, and I'm really getting annoyed because I can't turn it on airplane because then I can't, you know, do the thing. So
yeah.
I missed the world a little bit. I'm sorry.
I just said, in the mid-90s was, like, the high point because he did The Rock, then Face Off, then Con Air.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, big action, you know.
For me, yeah, I think for me, though, I think I really liked when he did the earlier stuff. I liked the Birdie. I liked his earlier stuff. I was a big fan of that. And don't get me wrong, every so often he'll make a movie. And, you know, he's in Snowden. The upcoming Snowden, he has a small role in that. Mm. I mean, the guy's obviously, as much as people make a joke about him, and we learned that from, you know, you guys showed me the Nicolas Cage face swap. I think he's got something in, you know, maybe 10 years from now, he's going to pull this amazing performance and everyone's going to be like, holy crap. And he's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another Oscar down the road. I really would. And yes, I know he did Wicker Man. He's done a lot of really, now everything he does is straight DVD, but I guarantee, I think there's going to be that role that just some supporting role, like he plays someone's granddad or something, and it's a really sad, you know, dramatic performance. I think he has the chops to do it. I really do. I think there's something there, and I would love to that because I really like the guy. I think he's fun.
I think it's just going to take somebody actually offering him something good, not just saying, here, do this because you fucking got to pay some shit off. But actually, I think one of his more...
He did Joe recently, right?
Yeah. Joe was
a couple of years back.
I was going to say, I think one of his more underrated, and I just think it's maybe a bit underrated in general, because it kind of, nobody really...
Wicker Man?
Yes.
Wicker Man?
I think when it came out, nobody really talked about it, but it's Bringing Out the Dead from bloody Martin Scorsese. Oh, yeah.
Love that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was a good movie. It was a good, yeah.
Like a good underrated one. But this might be a bit embarrassing because I don't generally, it's not my kind of movie a lot of the time, but I really liked The Family Man because it's a cute, nice movie.
Wasn't Tia Leone in that? Wasn't she the
yeah, unfortunately, she's the female
lead. I never saw Family Man, to be honest, unfortunately.
But, you know, didn't he get nominated for adaptation? Or am I dreaming? No, he did. No, he didn't win.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite
movies. Honeymoon in Vegas, man. He was Elvis.
That's
pretty good. It was fun. It was cute.
Let's not forget, It Could Happen to You, which is probably, like, at his most warmest and charming and most everyday.
I thought his most charming was City of Angels. God, I hate that movie.
I actually like that movie.
Oh, fuck off. Go to hell.
I, It's my favorite movie ever made. It is City of Angels is the greatest movie ever.
Oh God, kill me.
It's better than Jungle Book.
I really hated City of Angels.
Why do you hate City? I mean, I'm not saying it's great. I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was nice. But why do you hate it?
I just don't like it. I'm not a big fan of romance movies and this. I just thought it was just ugh. I'm like, this is just dumb. Fuck off. I didn't like it, and I liked that. Meg Ryan at that point, because, you know, I thought she was adorable and cute, mm-hmm. and Nicolas Cage at that time was doing good stuff, but it just did not click with me. I just thought, this is shit. Fuck off. I would have chosen to watch, like, 8mm over that movie, and that movie was fucking weird.
How about Snake Eyes? Would you pick that one?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. Yeah. You've got some bloody Gary Sinise and John Hurt in that one.
That is true. That is true.
Brian De Palma, wasn't it? Or am I dreaming?
Who?
Wasn't it Brian De Palma movie, Snake Eyes?
Yeah,
it absolutely was.
Actually,
it wasn't one of his best, but no. it was a movie.
Actually, a really good one was Matchstick Men.
Yeah, that's a great
one. Yeah, I never saw that one.
Oh, such a good movie.
See, we're proving that Nicolas Cage can be awesome.
Matchstick Man. Awesome. I mean, you give Nicolas Cage, bloody Sam Rockwell, and Ridley Scott to work with, and it's gold.
Yeah. And then, you put his face on a cat, and it looks amazing.
It is. did we all see Knowing?
I did see Knowing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did.
What a weird fucking movie.
It was pretty terrible.
What the fuck was that movie even about?
That was a religious movie. It was him and Rose Byrne. It was just there. Really heavy-handed, and I don't remember a thing about it. No. I just remember being very mediocre.
Mm.
I kind of like that movie.
You're weird. No, fuck off. No. No.
Off,
I expected it to be like some kind of weird Final Destination-esque kind of movie, but then it kind of went into directions I didn't expect.
Can we mention perhaps Nicolas Cage's best I don't know, teaming up with a director ever? And I'm not talking about Neil Butte or whatever his name is. Yeah, really. Can we talk about Nicolas Cage and Werner Herzog for Bad Lieutenant? Because that movie is awesome.
That one's pretty cool.
I remember, Marty, when we were talking about this movie before it came out, we both thought, oh, it's going to look terrible. But then we saw it and we thought it was majestic.
Oh, my God. Her soul is still dancing.
And the iguana, the iguanas everywhere.
Wow. I'm looking at his, he was in Kick-Ass too. I always forget that.
Yeah, Big Daddy! He's so good in that movie. It's like, what if he was a kind of a Batman?
He basically... Right?
Oh, that would have been awesome. I wanted to see that.
Yeah, he's basically playing Adam West in Kick-Ass.
You know what he could do? Yeah. They could adapt, like, properly The Dark Knight Returns, and he could be old man Batman.
Oh, he totally could. You know the movie, now he's in the Shark movie, which I can't wait for. I don't care how bad it is. I really need to see this film. The USS Indianapolis, Men of
Oh, Bruce. Yeah, I saw that trailer. I'm like, I'm so down to watch this movie.
And it's Thomas Jane once again with sharks. It'd be the best movie
directed
ever.
Directed by Mario and Van Peebles.
Yeah, Tom Sizemore is actually working. Wow. And it's directed by Mario Van Peebles.
Mm. I'm so down for this movie.
I love that story, first of all, because, you know, when they talk about it in Jaws, it was the first time I probably heard about it. That was so terrifying. I mean, that Robert Shaw talking about being underwater, blah, blah, blah. That was awesome. So I can't wait to see it. I hope it's amazing. But it it is Mario Van Peebles, and I'm not sure if it's going to be amazing, and it, you know.
What about Dog Eat Dog with from Paul Schrader with Willem Dafoe?
I think,
you know,
that's not out yet, but I'm looking forward to that one.
Are we looking forward to that one? Yeah. This is based on I forgot his name. The dude that was in Reservoir Dogs. He wrote a book.
Edward Bunker. Yeah.
That's the one.
Oh, wow.
I knew who I meant.
Wow.
Yeah. So he could actually be doing like a couple of really good movies, like coming up.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, I'm telling you, his career is far from over. He's going to have some really, I guarantee you, he's going to at least get another Oscar nomination down the road somewhere. Because I do think he is good. I think once he gets out of this, let's do every single movie I'm offered, and even if they're on, straight to DVD. I think they're, because it's not, I'm looking back at his career. Oh my God, he was an Astro Boy. Wow. I forgot about the National Treasure movies. I actually hate those. I think he's a better actor than people give him credit for, and just because he does do a lot of bad movies, but wow, he's done some pretty awesome flicks.
He has. What's this one with Elijah Wood? Never heard of it.
Trust.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis is in that movie too. Jesus. I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things about it.
Me too. Oh, The Boy in Blue. I remember that one too. That was good.
Actually,
Racing with the Moon. Oh my God, that movie is awesome. Did you see that? Racing with the Moon?
No.
I haven't seen that one.
That one is so good. It's such a, Marcy, you wouldn't like it. It's romantic.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Yeah, it's romantic. But it's Elizabeth McGovern and Sean Penn. And John Carlin from Cagney and Lacey.
I did like The Frozen Ground that he did with John Cusack. I thought that was actually pretty good.
Wait, was John Cusack in that?
Yeah.
Frozen Ground?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I
did like that movie quite a bit, actually. I just didn't remember John Cusack.
Yeah, because he's the killer.
Yeah,
which is not a spoiler,
because
you know that from the start. Well, you stole it from the start, so.
That's true. That is true. People are like, ah, man. And, of course, Drive Angry. We talked about it before we started it, actually, doing this. But I love Drive Angry. I think that's a blast.
I'm gonna drive angry.
Oh, I'm gonna drive and I'm gonna be really angry. Oh,
drive KG.
Yeah, I love that cast too. That had Amber Heard, and William Fichtner, Billy Burke. And Patrick Lussier just killed it. I love when Patrick Lussier and Todd Farmer make movies together. They need to do that. I'm so freaking bummed we didn't get a My Bloody Valentine 2. I wanted that movie so bad. I love My Bloody Valentine. Damn it.
It was a pretty decent movie.
Yeah, I think of like all of like Nicolas Cage's most like recent movies. Drive Angry is definitely one of my favorite ones for sure.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of fun.
Can I comment that Ghost Rider was pretty much a fail?
Well, that's the thing though. Drive Angry is basically what Ghost Rider should have been because it kind of has a similar premise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, well, I think that the thing about Todd and Patrick is they have kind of, they know where to go when it comes to kind of walking that line between going too far over the top and still making it kind of captivating and cool to watch. And I think that that Drive Angry, there was something just absolutely batshit crazy about it. It was so much fun.
It feels like it could have easily been like the third movie in Grindhouse if they just attached it onto that.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Could have been like the modern Grindhouse movie.
Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
It could have been like the modern Grindhouse movie.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, what was awful that I can't believe I even saw was Trespass, where he's married to Nicole Kidman.
Wow, I never saw that one.
That was Joel Schumacher,
that.
By the way.
Yeah,
the only decent thing, I think, was that it had Ben Mendelsohn and that What's that really good-looking guy that used to be in movies, Bede? You know, the one that I used to like? Just because that's the one. Just because he was good-looking. Yeah.
He was like in every
movie. Wait, who?
Cam
Gisner. Who is that guy?
Cam
Gisner. Say it, Bede.
Cam Gadgenant, I think. He was like in...
Oh, yeah. I know exactly.
He was like in everything for a while, and then like during 2010... I mean, during 2008 and 2011, and then he just vanished.
Yeah.
I feel bad for, like, all the guys from the Twilight movies have kind of disappeared. I mean, Rob Pattinson occasionally appears, but, like, you know, Kellan Lutz and Cam Gid whatever, they don't, and I don't, you know, it's and then there's, what was that guy's name? What's Jacob?
Oh,
Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, Taylor Lautner.
That poor guy, oh my god, did you see that movie Abduction? Where there's absolutely no abduction? It is one of the most horrendous films I've ever seen. It was so painful to watch.
I remember your 1 out of 10 review you wrote for Joe Blow back in the day with that one.
Well, you remember? Yeah, I was so angry at that movie. I was like, what were they thinking? He's terrible. He was terrible. I mean, look, when the first Twilight came out, I interviewed him on the red carpet. Super cool dude, very adorable, very sweet, very nice guy, you know, very cool. I really liked him, and then I saw Twilight, and I saw his performance, and it's just like, oh, poor kid. Oh my god, he's so bad. But I did not see him in The Ridiculous Six, so I cannot judge on that.
I'm just looking up Cam Gadget just to see what he's been up to. Apparently he's in the new Magnificent Seven.
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, so he's doing stuff.
Yeah.
He was also in that movie about his penis, if I remember correctly. Didn't he? Wasn't that him?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember what it is. But,
wait, there's a penis movie? What?
Yeah, it's like, what is it called?
Oh, Bad Johnson.
Bad Johnson, yes, that's it. That is it.
I have to see the movie just based on that title alone.
I'm going to watch this movie.
Great. Probably doesn't have a... It's probably one of those... Someone else was in that, too. Now this is going to drive me crazy. God, how I love IMDb. You can just look crap up. Oh, Jamie Chung. That's who it was. I love Jamie. She's a cutie. Wow. This looks amazing.
I think I'm going to watch this penis movie.
Charismatic womanizer. Wow. Detachable penis.
Yeah. Did you see The Croods and his wonderful voice work in The Croods?
I did. I like The Croods.
I didn't mind The Croods. It's funny, every time it's on, because one of those movies that's always on rotation when there's kids around, and you always hear the Cage voice. It's like, it's so perfect for Nicolas Cage, because he can play like a Neanderthal or whatever they are. Caveman.
Yeah, that was one of those movies I didn't love, but once it got on its feet and figured out where it was going, I really enjoyed the ride. It was a good, I liked the movie a lot. And he was very perfect casting in that one.
Mm.
Caveman!
Kurt Rouge. Actually, Lord of War wasn't too bad of a movie.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Lord of War is definitely one of my favorite Nick Cage films. I think that's just a pretty awesome film. Really, it's really intelligent, and also just a very understated Nicolas Cage performance as well.
Yes. We need more understated Nicolas Cage, like Wicker Man.
Yeah. I was going to say The Weatherman, which was that came out the same
year. I never saw The Weatherman, actually.
That's a great film as well. Another sort of it's quirky, but it's definitely another sort of really sort of understated performance from Cage. But it's really good, like really
Cage
good.
Cage Rage. Sorry.
Was it as good as Wicker Man?
well, it's not as hilarious as Wicker Man, but
yeah.
How did it get burned?
I can't. What was the bear suit he was wearing? I'm trying to think. I'm like, now I want to watch.
Was he wearing the bear suit? I just remember him punching women in that movie.
Yeah, he punched a lot of women and he got attacked by bees. I mean, it's really, really, it's a perfect film.
The amazing thing is the bee scene is actually, was a deleted scene put back into the, I think it was the DVD release of the movie.
Yep.
It wasn't in the theatrical cut.
Although, I have to say, though, I kind of, bees! I mean, as much as I do love the bee scene, I kind of like the theatrical cut, because instead of showing the bee scene for some bizarre reason, they just have a voiceover of him. You hear a loud crack and you just yell, "Oh, my legs!"
It is
the most hilarious voiceover of all time.
Oh my God.
You gotta, I don't know if it is on YouTube, that just that voiceover, but yeah, you gotta find
it. What drugs were on offer when they made that movie? I would love some.
Well, you know, the problem I think with that movie is they were remaking a film which was a product of its time. The Wicker Man, the original film, is a pretty creepy movie, but that was the time when they, you know, there was a lot of fears about cults and all this bizarro stuff going on in the world, the war and everything. So I think for the time it was made, and I can't remember exactly the year, and I'm going to look it up because IMDb, but I feel like there was no making that work, because it just felt like, even if they somehow, it was 73, so that was right after, you know, after Vietnam. I just, you know, the rise of the hippies and all that kind of thing, and Charles Manson, all that kind of late 60s, 70s stuff going on. So I think trying to remake that, it's kind of like trying to remake Big Trouble in Little China, which is an 80s movie, and I can't believe they're planning on remaking that. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I just got lost in my thought. I think that you can't remake a movie like that. It's very difficult.
And they tried to. I don't know what statement they were trying to make about women with that remake either.
Well, if you're wearing a bear suit, you can punch them.
Yeah, it's Neil Labute. He always has issues with
women. He hates women, obviously.
I wonder if he does, because the thing is, I like his films usually, that was a weird, weird freaking movie.
Maybe he just wasn't cut out to direct a horror film. Like, you know, some people can do it and some people can't.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean,
In the Company of Men is a horror film in its own way, but
that is such a fucked up movie, man.
Oh, God, so good. Dude, that's probably the last great Jason Patrick role, too. That guy kind of disappeared a little bit. He does stuff here and there, but yeah, that movie, that monologue he had about the rape was disturbing. Oh, my God, I still remember that.
Yeah, that's what I mean sort of by the, you know, it's not a straight-up horror film, but its own way kind of a horror film. But I think Neil LaBute trying to do, like, a straight-up horror film, it just didn't work. Like, all the things that he thought was going to scare people and all that just came off really cheesy and hilarious. Like, all the jump scares and all the creepy stuff, it just came off more hilarious than creepy.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree. There was nothing scary about The Wicker Man.
No.
Like, at all.
But it made for the greatest unintentional comedy of all time.
Yeah, that and the perfect double feature would be that and M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
What?
No. Actually, I've got
Nick Cage team up with Ed Night Shyamalan for a movie.
No, God,
that would be beautiful. I've actually got
the perfect plot line for a movie that he could do with M. Night Shyamalan. That's his name, right? Yeah, Nicolas Cage has to infiltrate Scientology.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
That's a movie he's getting an Oscar for.
Done.
That's happening. Done. Now I know my next producing gig.
Yeah.
Although I would say, though, like,
I'm going to ring M. Night right now. We're best friends.
I was going to say, now there's two upcoming movies I kind of wish Nick Cage was cast in. Again, with M. Night Shyamalan, like his next film, Split, with James McAvoy. After watching that trailer,
I can't help but feel like, imagine what Nick Cage would have been like it playing a guy with multiple personalities.
I thought he already did have multiple personalities.
And also, I honestly still think, I mean, I'm looking forward to the movies, which is the making of The Room. And I know James Franco is playing Tommy Wiseau in it, but I can't help it. Like, Nicolas Cage should have played Tommy Wiseau in that movie. And I legitimately think he would be amazing in that role.
I think you're right. I think that will be, that needs to happen too.
Bede, I want to hear your impression of Nicolas Cage playing Tommy Wiseau.
It's okay. I didn't hurt you. I did not. Oh, hi, Warren. You're tearing me apart, Lisa. But you know what? Well, you know what they say. Love is blind.
I'm going to pee my pants. Sorry, I mean, I'm going to pee in the bucket because I'm not
pants. Can you imagine
on.
That? Oh, yeah. Like, Nicolas Cage saying all those lines.
Oh,
see,
it,
I think
it would be.
James,
oh, hi, babe.
So, how's your sex life?
Oh my god, this movie really has to happen. It has to have Nicolas Cage.
He should be in the remake of The Room.
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
If you ever interview James Franco in the future, you should ask him, man, can you just like reshoot all of your new movie with Nicolas Cage and that's Tommy Wiseau?
I'm going to ask him that because I think that it has to happen.
Yes, that'd be
I think it really, that would be wonderful. It's already made my day.
Yeah.
Actually, Marcy, radio play in The Room and just be doing it as Nicolas Cage.
He can be all the roles.
We should do it. We could. Oh my god, it's gonna be amazing. This is gonna be the best thing
ever.
I
just like to watch you guys. My impression sucks so hard. Sorry.
That's alright. Don't worry about it. I can't do him either. So I'm just gonna head back to Samurai League.
I'm fed up with this world!
You have a problem with Samurai
League! Oh my god.
Eventually, everything goes back to Tommy Wiseau during the course of the show.
Actually, Nicolas Cage should be, he should be the new Frankenstein's monster. Can you imagine?
Oh man.
There's
his Oscar.
That would be brilliant. He would be amazing. He would be better than Robert De Niro was.
I want it to happen.
I think.
Do we have contact details for Nicolas Cage? I want to send him all these ideas.
Yeah, I think we need to. We'll just, is he on Twitter? We can always tweet him. We can always go, hey Nick. We got your
Nicolas
movie.
Cage, I love you so much, man.
I don't know if he's on Twitter, but if he isn't, he should, because I can imagine what his tweets would be like.
Oh, they'd be brilliant. They'd be absolutely brilliant.
Today I washed my hair and there's a bird in it. Somebody kill me right now.
Oh, good lord.
What is
good
wrong with
lord.
Me?
This week I'm going to be starring in 5 movies over the course of 5 days. That's one movie per day.
And we filmed it this morning. It's already ready to go.
I'm being paid in burritos. Because I'll do anything for food.
Where's my burrito?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
I think Muzzy being as insane as this episode is, it kind of fits in tone with the topic at hand. Since Nicolas Cage, as awesome as an actor he is a little crazy. But the good kind of crazy.
It's the good kind of crazy. It's the crazy that I can relate to in life.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it is all about Nicolas Cage, and I think we need to embrace that and accept that he is an important part of our lives.
Yeah.
And that we love Nicolas Cage. That's really what this comes down to.
Yeah, I love the man. Right. Like, and you know what? I can totally relate to the Wicker Man remake, because if I showed up at a place that was just full of crazy women, I would wear a bear suit and punch them out too.
Oh my god. I'm wearing a bear suit right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go punch people.
Get off the bike.
Oh, please.
Is there any way like we can just enter in like I don't know what the name of it is, like in one of those relationships where like I could have like all the husbands and I could have like we could just be in the relationship with like Nicolas Cage.
Polygamy?
Yeah, with Nicolas Cage.
What are you, Mormon now?
Yes. No, I mean, we could all marry Nicolas Cage or something. I don't know.
Well, we could have, like, we could start a commune with him.
Yes. Those things have always been in fashion.
Yeah, no, everyone loves a good commune.
Yeah, it could be the Cage commune.
And we could all worship at the altar of Nicolas Cage.
And he sits there every day with no clothes on.
No, you just lost me. That's a lot of hair there that I don't need to see more of.
He could wear a bear suit.
He's already wearing a sweater.
I think if anyone's going to bask into the deity, that is my hair. So there.
Oh, my God.
Yes, no, we could worship all of his wigs.
Oh, they should have like a display at LACMA over here in LA for everyone else who doesn't know what LACMA is. It's really awesome. But they do, I think right now they're having the Guillermo del Toro display. They could just have Nicolas Cage wigs all over, everywhere.
Oh my God.
I have to say, I would never leave. I think his hair has never gotten any more epic than in Con Air.
Probably,
the wind has to blow
that.
Through my
it's
hair.
It's like literally
every
scene of that movie. Like, even if he's like in a tight, sort of claustrophobic, like space with no windows, no air, somehow his hair is still blowing.
The scene where he walks, I think, where does he walk outside and his like eyes are closed? The wind's blowing in his hair.
Amazing. Amazing.
I think I had that as my cover pic for a while, that picture.
So good.
Could there be like a museum just for Nicolas Cage props and memorabilia?
Seriously, I would go to that. I'm not even kidding.
I would live there.
Absolutely go to a Nicolas Cage. Yeah. We should have Nicolas Cage conventions.
Oh my God, yes.
Cage Con.
Yes! Cage Con. But wait, what would you dress up as for the first one? What would your Nicolas Cage costume of choice be?
I gotta go early. I gotta go Valley Girl. I gotta do punk rock, man.
Bead? What would yours be?
I would dress up as a giant iguana.
Well, that was my second, so...
Oh, my God.
See, he needs to retake with Werner Herzog, man. Like, that is just the best... Like, I keep saying to Marcy, I think Werner Herzog should make, like, a biopic.
I think I said that to
you, his relationship with Klaus Kinski. Cast Nick Cage in the Klaus... I mean, in the Werner role, and Michael Shannon as Klaus Kinski.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
That was my idea, by the way. Yeah. You stole it.
I know, but I'm sorry. That's why I say we... I was going to give you credit, Marcy.
Yeah, thank you.
There's just so much goodness, Nicolas Cage goodness going on right now. I feel giddy. And my phone's dying on me. Damn it.
See, and my costume would be a bear suit, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, well, why didn't I think of that? I would put, like, a something on my head, and I'd pour a bunch of bees on it, and I'd just walk around screaming, bees, the bees, not the bees.
Could like, the special guest, aside from Nicolas Cage, be Neil LaBute, please? Cage, yes.
Please. Well, if we're going to do that, let's just have a Wicker Man festival.
Yes. Let's hold it at all the shooting locations.
You know what? I honestly think if someone had, like, if they took, like, Wicker Man or the... You know, The Room or any of these, especially something like Wicker Man or The Happening or something, and they had a convention, I think people would come.
Yeah.
I really do. I would go.
I would too, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I'd be there.
Absolutely.
I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. Especially Wicker Man. I think I saw it on like a small, I think I saw I maybe on an airplane or something. I was, wow, this is so horrendous, but I love it.
It's magical and majestic.
It is magic.
It is.
It's like that Olivia Newton-John song, Magic, from Xanadu.
Oh my god, he should star in the remake of Xanadu.
Oh my, would he play the Olivia Newton-John
yes,
role?
Yes, he would sing the song.
Xanadu. Now we are here.
Why is it Nicolas Cage appeared in a musical? I don't know if he can sing, but he should be one in anyway.
He can sing. He totally can sing.
Can he
sing?
Yeah, he did all the singing in Wild at Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true. He was awesome. And he did the Elvis thing.
Mm.
Boys, men, chains.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Well, unfortunately, guys, I do have to cut this. I hate to, but I do have to leave fairly shortly because my phone is about to die on me.
That is okay. We will wrap up the Cage Cast with...
Cage Cast!
With me, Bede, and Jimmy O. Alright, so, Jimmy O, where can people find you online if they want to stalk you and all that goodness?
Oh, please stalk me. Of course, JoeBlow.com, ArrowInTheHead.com. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Periscope, either Jimmy TVO or James Oster, Oster. I'm a social media whore.
Basically. He really is. He really is.
Yes. Yeah, I really am.
Yeah. That's where you can find him. You can me, obviously doing really bad Nicolas Cage impressions, but...
So awesome.
Look me up online. We are at supermarcy.com as part of the Super Network. The Facebook page is facebook.com/thesupernetwork. My Twitter is twitter.com/supermarcy. And you can try add me on my regular Facebook, but I probably won't add you back because that's how I roll. Bede, what about you?
Wow.
You can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/BedeDivine or at my fan page at the facebook.com/terribleaussie. And of course you can find my weekly writing at supermarcy.com with reviews and columns and all of the other bunch of stuff.
And that's it. That's it from us. Thank you, Jimmy O, so much for finally joining us. We will get you back on so soon.
Let's do it. And I may have news soon, so I'm coming back soon, guys.
Yep. Just hit me up and we'll get you back. Actually,
yeah,
we should try get you and Justin on together. That would be cool.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I was going to see if he could, like, quickly call in, but now he hasn't answered me, so that'll have to be next time.
Well, the irony, he was the first person to call me right as we started, and I was like, I can't. Obviously, I couldn't pick him up, so I had to hang up on him. So,
there
Justin,
we go.
I'm sorry.
It needs to happen.
I'm
we
sorry.
Need to have a foursome. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Thank
you.
Well,
guys, you rule. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Until next time, I've been super. Jimmy has an O, and Bede is terrible. And we love Nick Cage. See you later.
Yes.
Hey, everyone.
Bye.
Peanut!
Hi, baby!
Wow.
Betty, I got a surprise for you.
What? Hey, my snakeskin jacket. Thanks, baby. Did I ever tell you that this here jacket represents a symbol of my individuality and my belief in personal freedom?
So, 50,000 times, I got us a room at the Cape Fear. And guess what? Power Man's playing at the Hurricane.
Stabbing and steer.